Mother's Day for me has a very special meaning, not just because of my mother, although that's special enough, Ma. On Mother's Day, May 15th, 1994, I was saved in this church. And if you ask me to go back and tell you everything that happened, I remember it like it was yesterday. So Mother's Day for me has a very profound meaning every year. It's the day that I became a Christian and gave my life to the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. There is not enough thanks in the world. There's not enough thanks on the tongues of every person that can thank you enough for sending your son to die on a cross for us. Father, it is a gift for every one of us that none of us deserve and none of us will ever be able to repay. And yet you did it, Lord. You gave your son for us. We thank you for that. And now, Lord, as we come to you in prayer, we know, Lord, that your word says if we hide iniquity in our hearts, your word or you will not hear us. So we pray, Father, that if there is iniquity, if there is that sin that doth so easily beset in each one of us, Father, bring it to our forefront. Shake it in front of our eyes that we may realize what it is and that we may ask your forgiveness of it. And in so doing, Lord, as we ask, you will cleanse us because your word says just that, Lord. If we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to cleanse us of our sins or cleanse us of all unrighteousness, Father. Thank you. We know, Father, that in order to approach your throne, we need to be without iniquity. So, Father, first and foremost, we lift this country up to you. A country, Father, that seems to be spiraling down and down and down. Lord, a country in whose young people don't have very many good examples. It's a sad thing. Indeed, it's a sad thing. Father, we pray now for our leaders that you would touch their hearts in a way that they would realize that the leadership that they need, that the wisdom that they need to lead needs to come from you. For you are the author of wisdom. So, Father, we pray for our nation, for our president and our vice president and our Congress and our Senate and everybody, Father, that is in politics, that this nation would once again turn its face to you, Father, and realize that we need to worship you, and not the creation and not each other, but you. And now, Father, we look at the many prayer requests that are on our sheets, Lord. Father, we come to you with open hands. We have nothing to give. The only good that's in us is the good that comes from you. So, Father, we are indeed a needy people. We pray, Father, that we would fall to our knees in front of you with those needs on our lips. Father, we do pray for Kathy's brother, Kenny. Father, touch his heart in a way that he would feel the warmth and the caress of your hand and your love. Father, for Mike Roshan, for salvation, for Ed, Lord, who's not with us today, Father, we do pray for him. We pray for his health, Lord, that you would return his health, that he could be here next week, Father, and worship with us. Father, who Teresa Losi's mother-in-law, who's not doing well, Father, we pray that that you would comfort her in a way, Father, that she would feel your touch as well. Father, for so many others on this prayer sheet, Father, we write down all our needs. They are many. They are many indeed. But Father, the greatest need that any of us have is the need to be close to you. So we pray, Father, that we would be ones that would be on our knees in prayer every day, that we would be ones that will be opening up your word every day, reading, committing to memory the great precepts that you have for your people. And now, Father, as our pastor comes to bring a message to us, open our hearts, Lord. Open our eyes, open our minds, but especially our hearts. Change us with your word, Lord, that as we leave this building, we would have grown closer to you, being more conformed to your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, these things we'll pray in the precious, wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. Thank you.
Can you hear me? No? Okay, good. Just getting used to this new mic, so appreciate your patience on that. Obviously, today is Mother's Day, and we've already made note of that. It's an opportunity to remember our mothers and express appreciation for them. As you know from reading your Bibles, God has created Adam and Eve. He created mothers. He created fathers. He created family units. He did not create Adam and Steve. He did not create Matilda and Mary. That's not how he set it up. He made them male and female. And all of you know the direction that our society seems to be heading, and it's very disturbing. And frankly, there doesn't seem to be a lot we can do about it except pray and to make sure that we are uncontaminated by the things that go on around us. I want to start off this morning. Does anybody hear a buzz? Mike, could you just tweak that down a little bit for me, please? Thank you. I want to read to you a definition of motherhood, and some of you will find this rather humorous, I think. Long hours, low pay, little time off, must be willing to work overtime on weekends, holidays, summer vacations. Energy, imagination, intelligence, endurance, flexibility, all required. Must have the ability to lead, instruct, and guide, coupled with a warm, loving, affectionate personality. On-the-job training is offered. Many of you ladies have had on-the-job training, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. So what kind of job are we talking about anyway? Sounds like a long list of qualifications. Sounds like a lot of work to me. I don't know how the rest of you feel about that. You may have guessed it, as we know that is a description that somebody humorously wrote about mothers. And that's a job description for mothers and all the things that they do for us. One writer says this: the joys of motherhood are never fully experienced until all the children are in bed. Another writer said, throughout the ages, no nation has ever had a better friend than the mother who taught her children to pray. Third writer says that we are told that automation is a process that gets all the work done. While you just stand there, when we were younger, that process was called mom. Every year, Mother's Day comes and goes. Every year, we either focus on a particular mother from the Bible, and we've got a whole list of them that we can focus on. Mary, obviously the mother of Jesus. Hannah, the mother of Samuel. Jochebed, the mother of Moses. And then, of course, there's Proverbs 31, talks about the virtuous woman. Or we try to put together a message that describes how we can go about showing love and appreciation for our mothers throughout the years, for all the things that they have done for us. As we know, none of us would be here today without our mothers. This Sunday, we take advantage, as I said, of this opportunity to give thanks to our mothers and to reflect together on how we might show our love and appreciation to them throughout the year. In Genesis chapter 3, we have a woman by the name of Eve, who is called the mother of all the living. As I mentioned already, Jochebed, Moses' mother, who is a brave woman, a woman with imagination and creativity, and did what she could to hide him from the Pharaoh's soldiers who were told to kill all the Hebrew babies. Titus chapter 2, older women are told to train younger women to live or to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, to be subject to their husbands so that no one will malign the word of God. And of course, Proverbs 31 talks about the noble wife. The children are to rise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Motherhood was invented by God, amen? Now, so was fatherhood. God obviously thinks motherhood is important, and we should think that motherhood is important. Recently, I had a client who had lost her children to the state for different things, and she was coming to me for counseling, and she mentioned that her kids had been sent to a gay couple, males, for a foster home. And she had some concerns about that. That's the kind of thing that's going on out there. It happens quite a bit now. And that's not how God has set it up, just so you know. So this morning we're going to look at four specific ways in which we can honor our mothers. Very simple message. First way is to express appreciation. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. The Lord told Eve, "I will greatly increase your pain in childbearing, and with pain you will give birth to your children." And all the women of the church said, amen. That's what they said. Now, I'm a guy. I've never had a child, but I've watched my wife in labor twice. And that's a lot for a woman to go through. My daughter is going to have a baby here in June. And so she's looking forward to that, but she's not looking forward to the delivery, I don't think. I'm sure that we're all pretty familiar with what a woman goes through with childbirth. They've got, obviously, the labor pains, and then, of course, before that all happens, there's sometimes morning sickness. Then later on, there's stretch marks. Then there's the body changes that go on with a woman, hormone fluctuations, postpartum depression and tiredness, and the list just goes on and on and on. Certainly, men play a role throughout the whole process. Women do indeed bear the vast majority of the burden. They have the child conceived in their bodies, actually in most cases provide the lion's share of the child's care. Now, I know that my son Matthew does do a lot with his girls, and my son-in-law Jerry does a lot with his one boy, and he's now going to have two boys to contend with, and they do quite a bit, but in reality, the women end up doing probably most of it. And that's, I don't know why it works that way. Well, obviously because they're mothers, and that's kind of what they do, but it just seems to work that way in most cases that the women end up doing a lot of it. There are probably times when the men could be more helpful, you know, and you kind of learn that as you go along. Mothers nurture and protect their children. They are the first to defend their child. You don't want to mess with somebody's kid, you know, otherwise the mother bear is going to come after you. They nurse their child, and the moms have a very special bond with a child and changes the child, gets up with the child at night, probably more so than the males. I got up, she said one to me one night, Patty said to me, my Matthew is just a baby. Okay, it's your turn to get him up. So I went to go get him up, and he took one look at me and started crying because he wanted his mother. So it ended up, I had him for a little bit, then she said, here, give him to me, I'll take him. So That way, it works out that way quite a bit. They usually ask for mom, not dad, when they get hurt, because they're used to mom helping them. Scripture provides us with many examples of exemplary mothers, and I know I've mentioned these to you already, but you know Mary, the mother of Jesus. In John chapter 19, as she was at the foot of the cross, agonizing over her son's crucifixion. In Genesis chapter 21, we got Hagar agonizing over the impending death of her son Ishmael, but the Lord intervened in that case and kept that from happening. Then, of course, we've got Jochebed in Exodus chapter 2, who made a basket and, you know, coated the inside of it with tar and hid him in the Nile River because the soldiers were looking for him. And she was very slick about this because she got it so the Pharaoh's daughter would see him and, you know, oh, a baby. And fixing, you know, the Pharaoh's daughter says, bring that baby in here. I want that baby. Can anybody nurse that baby? And the little girl, the sister says, oh, I've got a wet nurse I can get you. That turned out to be Moses' mom. So that was good the way she set that up. And we think of the work and the energy and the creativity and the imagination she went through to make that happen. Mom became Moses' wet nurse, even though Moses now belonged to the daughter of Pharaoh. And his faith was a product of his mother working in his life, and as well as the Lord. And her faith and her determination and her ingenuity saved Moses from certain death. And we know other women. Many of these women are in Scripture. They've done much for their children. Perhaps not as dramatic as some of the examples that we've seen here, but these particular people are still very important. So we owe our mothers and children and husbands and fathers need to remember that. We need to verbally thank them, express our appreciation for them, not only in words, but also in tangible ways. Like gifts, they like gifts. Flowers, kisses. And of course, there's always sherry berries. Anybody know what a sherry berry is? These are these great big, what are they? Strawberries. And they're dipped in chocolate and they come in a box. And they're dipped in different kinds of chocolate. And I think women really like these. I know my wife likes them. So men, if you've got to get something really quick, see if you can find a way to get some cherry berries shipped over to her, because they really like those. So we have to treat them with courtesy and respect. We need to honor them. And we must remember this, especially as they get older. They may require special care and nurture as time goes on. You know, I see a lot because I work up in a secular counseling center. I'm bivocational, and I'm disturbed and I'm appalled by the blatant lack of respect that many mothers receive from their kids. And we see it all the time in the waiting area. I don't want to go to counseling. And the next thing you know, the kid's swearing and cussing and swinging at his mother, and you have to come out and try to subdue the kid. My first instinct is to put him on the floor, but I guess you're not supposed to do that anymore. So they have somebody who is really good and calming him down and bring him toys and something. It seems to work. I know there was a kid, they used to send kids to me for counseling. This was down another place I worked, and this one kid was sitting there, and he sits down in the chair, and he folds his arm, and he looks at me and says, well, my daddy spanked me. I guess I was supposed to be alarmed at that or something. He was waiting for me to call 911 or whatever. And I said, okay, well, why did he spank you? Because I called my mother a so-and-so. I said, now, why would you talk that way to your mother? What did your mother ever do to deserve that? Because I knew his mother. His mother was a nice lady from what I knew of her. She told me I had to clean my room. Well, I told the kid, I said, you know, if you're looking for sympathy, I said, you have come to the wrong guy. I said, I'm not going to report that. That's not abuse. I said, if you were my kid, I'd have spanked you too. He said, you can't say that. Yes, I can. Watch me. You can't talk like that to your mother. And I see a lot of this blatant disrespect. Yes, also they disrespect fathers as well. But a lot of disrespect gets poured down on the mother, especially single moms. You know, And single moms have it pretty rough. And so we need to be sure that we're showing love and courtesy and respect to our mothers, because that's what God would have us to do. May we never allow ourselves to behave in a manner that disrespects and mistreats our mother. May we always be ready to express appreciation for all that our mothers have done. And some of us maybe have different circumstances. Some of us have had really good mothers, and some of us maybe have had some bad mothers, and some of us have had mothers probably somewhere in the middle. But we just have to, as one writer said, remember the best and forget the rest when it comes to Mother's Day. And the first way we can show love to our mothers is to express appreciation for them. Mother's Day, by the way, is a day when millions of cards are purchased, and it's more than any other time of the year except for Christmas. More cards and more gifts are purchased for Mother's Day than for any other time of the year. So the first way to show love to our mothers is to express appreciation for them. Get her some cherry berries. Second way is to recall her teaching. Recall her teaching. By the way, Sherry is Shari, just so you, if you're looking it up online. Mothers do more than just bear the children and satisfy their own maternal instincts and have children they can nurse and cuddle. They influence their children in many ways. I know women have a kind of a maternal thing in many cases, and there comes a point when they want to have a kid. And I have no idea what that feels like, you know. I helped make them, but I didn't have the idea. I didn't really want to have them. And women have that maternal thing. They really want to do that. And they influence their children, and they are, in many cases, the child's primary teacher. Now, this is happening particularly in homeschool circles. You know, you see, kids not being sent to public schools and being sent basically to homeschool. That's what we did with our kids, homeschooled them. And, the mother is probably the primary teacher, especially if the father has to work outside the home. When a mother handles this responsibility well, this can have incredible positive benefits in the life of a child. If she doesn't do that well in this area, or is abusive or neglectful in the treatment of her child, the negative consequences can be devastating to a child's future life. Many of you I know saw this thing called the Truth Project. Okay. I know we showed it here at the church, and we did it in Sunday school, and some of you have taken it in your homes and had neighbors come in and stuff like that. You know, there's a man on there, and he's covered with tattoos, and he's rather profane and, you know, kind of a street guy. And as you listen to him, he talks with great bitterness and anger about his mother, who was an alcoholic, who was very abusive, and how that had a negative effect on his life. John Wesley spoke of his mother, Susanna. This is the other side of the coin. Susanna had 19 children, 10 of which lived. 9 of them died. And he learned the duty of love to God and man, the necessity of personal holiness, prayer, self-denial, the need to bend one's will to God. And she had a great impact on his life, taught him all those things that he needed to know. And just 19 children, that's amazing. I know there was a family on TV that had 19 children. It was like an army, you know. It was amazing to watch that. You know, in our home, we homeschooled our kids. I think Patty did most of it, to be completely honest. I worked outside the home, and a lot of the time I was going to seminary. So, I wasn't there as much. So many of the child's personal habits are the results of a mother's training. Certainly the father helps in this regard, but in the instances when a father is the primary breadwinner and the mother spends all of her time in the home, the mother usually ends up doing it. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Paul said, I've been reminded of your sincere faith, and here he's talking to Timothy, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you. So Timothy grew up in a home where he was raised by his mother. Apparently, at one point she became a single mom. We don't know. There's no real mention of his father in this passage. And apparently there was a grandmother there as well. And with the help of Timothy's grandmother, Timothy's mother raised Timothy in the godly home, and she taught him things. You know, she taught him what she had. And what she had back then was the Old Testament scriptures. So when Paul arrived on the scene, he helped Timothy make the connection between Jesus Christ, who had died on the cross, and the promised Messiah of the Old Testament. He could take him back to the Old Testament scriptures and say, hey, this has all been predicted. Timothy got saved, as you know, became a spiritual child of Paul's, assisted Paul in the ministry, and actually had two books named after him, books that Paul wrote to him. And Timothy's name means one who fears God, one who fears God. And he learned all of this where? At the feet of his mother and also his grandmother. We know that mothers are not perfect, right? We all have to agree with that. Despite their imperfections, we have to believe that probably most of them did the best they could with the situation and the resources that they had. Today we honor them, we remember to express appreciation for them, and try to recall what they taught us. One writer wrote something called Reflections of a Mother. She says, I gave you life but cannot live it for you. I can give you direction but I cannot be there to lead you. I can take you to church but I cannot make you believe. I can teach you right from wrong but I cannot always decide for you. I can buy you beautiful clothes but I cannot make you beautiful inside. I can offer you advice but I cannot accept it for you. I can give you love, but I cannot force it upon you. I can teach you to share, but I cannot make you unselfish. I can teach you respect, but I cannot force you to show honor. I can advise you about friends, but I cannot choose them for you. I can advise you about sex, but I cannot keep you pure. I can tell you about alcohol and drugs, but I can't say no for you. I can tell you about lofty goals, but I can't achieve them for you. I can teach you about kindness, but I can't force you to be gracious. I can pray for you, but I cannot make you walk with God. I can tell you how to live, but I cannot give you eternal life. I can love you with unconditional love all of my life, and I will. Most of our mothers were probably pretty decent most of the time. Some maybe not. But like the one person said, remember the best and forget the rest. May we remember with gratitude what our mothers have taught us. May we honor our mothers and fathers so that we may live long on the earth in the land that the Lord God has given you, Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. So two ways in which we love our mothers every day of the year: express appreciation, recall what they teach us or what they taught us. Number three is to pray for her. Mothers need to be prayed for. So the question we have to ask is, do we pray for our mothers? They have prayed for us, most likely. Women are under incredible pressure these days. You got to do it all, right? They are told they need to make a living. They're told they need to keep their kids under control, but they have to do that without spanking, or else CPS is going to be called. They're told they need to be available for their husbands, but they're also told that they don't need men. So they are to be the total woman. They're supposed to have it all. They're supposed to do it all. And obviously they can't, because nobody can. We can't do it all. Augustine had a mother who prayed for him. In the writings, he confessed his debt that he owed to his mother, Monica. A Christian mother who prayed for him. Eventually, under the ministry of someone named Ambrose, he came to Christ, reunited with his mother prior to her death after his salvation, and there was a joyous reunion. If you think about the prophet Samuel back in the Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 12, verses 1 to 27, I'm not going to read it to you. You can look it up if you want to on your own, speaks about the life of Samuel and what he tried to do for the people of Israel and how he ministered to kings. And all of this was a result of Hannah praying for him before he was even conceived. Abraham Lincoln said, "I remember my mother's prayers, and they have always followed me. They cling to me all of my life." And certainly the same can be said regarding Jesus and his mother, Eunice, as she ministered and brought up Timothy, and Jochebed as she took care of Moses. Mothers are so important that one author said this about mothers: "When I began to recognize his faces, one face always smiled at me with eyes that danced with laughter. I called her mom. When I started walking around the house on shaky feet that could hardly hold me up, someone with a smile in her eyes was always there to catch me. I called her mom. When I came home late, someone would meet me at the door with relief mixed with love in her eyes. There were moms. And when I asked Jesus to take back control of my life, her eyes overflowed with love and joy. Thank you, Mom." We appreciate our mothers, we recall what they taught us, and we also pray for them. And the last way that we can show our love for our mothers is that we try to walk with the Lord. We try to walk with the Lord. We try to put into our own lives the thing that they taught us, things that they taught us that were good and that were biblical in nature. We may wonder how many people come to faith in Christ at the feet of their mother. Probably quite a few. It is stated that D.L. Moody was ushered into the kingdom of heaven by the prayers of his mother. Susanna Wesley made a strong impact on the life of her children. Samuel, the son of Hannah, became a mighty prophet, as we've already mentioned, a servant of God. He helped reverse Israel's spiritual decline and avoid the judgment of God. And as we know, he was an advisor to Israel's greatest kings. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 to 7. I'll have you turn there for just a moment. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And we'll start off at actually in verse 3. Verses 3 to 7. And I know I mentioned this already, but I'll read to you the passage. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 to 7. "I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in prayers day, night and day, longing to see you even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy. For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline." So as you look at that, Paul was writing to Timothy, his beloved son in the faith, seeking to strengthen him, reminding him of his spiritual background, and exhorting him to rekindle the spiritual gift given to him by God. Timothy's background was exceptional, as we know. He was reared by a godly mother and grandmother. They were Old Testament believers, and they filled his heart and his head with the Old Testament truths, which helped him to make the connection between what they taught him and what Paul had to say about Jesus Christ. As I mentioned, Augustine, he said in his writings, he confessed his great debt to his own mother, Monica. She was a Christian. She prayed for him. As I said, he came under the influence of someone named Ambrose in the early church, and he was reunited with his mother prior to her death once he was saved. In our evangelical, fundamental, reformed type of church settings, many of us have saved mothers. That's not true of everybody. It is a joy for a mother to see her child walking with the Lord. May we as children walk with the Lord, living for Christ, not only for the good of our eternal souls, which it is, but also to bring joy to the hearts of our mothers, and also dads too. But that's the Father's Day message. If we as parents and grandparents have children or grandchildren who are not safe, may we be quick to continue to pray for them, trusting God for the results. Another writer says this, and I think you'll get a kick out of this. You might like this more than Sherry Berry's. But he says, perhaps mothers should come with a maintenance agreement, which provides for a complete overhaul every 5 years, three kids or 300,000 miles, whichever comes first. Here are several points which ought to be included. Number one, fuel. While most mothers will run indefinitely on hot coffee, pizza, and hamburgers, an occasional gourmet meal for two in elegant surroundings will add immeasurably to increased efficiency. Motor. A mother's motor is probably one of the most dependable anywhere. A mother can start and reach top speed from a prone position at a single cry from a sleeping child. To keep that motor at peak efficiency, regular breaks are recommended. A leisurely bath and a nap every 1,000 miles and a 2-week live-in sitter every 100,000 miles will do wonders. Good luck with that, right? Battery. Batteries should be charged regularly. Roses, candy, or other thoughtful and unexpected gifts often do the trick. Chassis. A mother operates best when her chassis is properly maintained. Her wardrobe should be changed as needed every fall and spring. Regular exercise should be encouraged and provided for. A complete change of hairdo and makeup should be part of the regular maintenance. When the chassis begins to sag, there are a number of possible remedies, including racquetball and Weight Watchers. Tune-ups. Mothers need regular tune-ups. Compliments are both cheapest and most appreciated. By following these simple instructions, the average mother would last a lifetime, providing love and caring to those who need her the most. So all of these are good things to do. I mean, some of them are a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but perhaps, but the idea is you want to take care of your mother. Don't forget all the other things that we've looked at this morning as well. So four ways that we can show love to our moms 365 days a year. Number one, be sure to express appreciation. Nothing does somebody good but to hear some appreciation for what they've done. Recall her teaching. I think most of our mothers in this setting, anyway, maybe not necessarily in society as a whole, but in this setting, try to teach their kids good stuff. You know, there's a lot of don't do that, don't do this, but that has to be done, right? You have to kind of keep them on the straight and narrow. Pray for her, pray for your mother, because your mother needs prayer. You know, she's just a human being like the rest of us. And finally, walk with the Lord. Nothing makes a mother or a parent feel better than to see their kid walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Lord, this morning we thank you for the opportunity to look at your word. Once again, we think about all the mothers that we have known, including our own, and we think of all the opportunities we've had to interact with these ladies. And Lord, we just thank you that you knew what you were doing when you created motherhood and also when you created fatherhood. Help us not to be sucked in any sense of the word, by anything the culture teaches us about these things, but always to remember what your word tells us. Help us to love our mothers, Lord. Help us to be kind to them. Help us to meet their needs. Help us to give them a good Mother's Day. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.